T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring Bonte Hill.
This baby Yama, all day, every day.
Oh, this is
Kate Scott.
She probably likes the tuna sandwiches from 7-Eleven.
And Joe Shesky.
I know I'm mediocre, but I'm going to give you the best effort I possibly can.
This is the Morning Roast, presented by Timeless Coffee on 95.7 The Game.
Roasters, we made it. Made it to the end of another week. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just feeling reflective this morning. But I feel like we all deserve to pat ourselves on the back a little. It has been a long, long, long year plus. And I know it has been hard for all of us in different ways, for different reasons. And has been especially awful for certain folks that we love, maybe for you. And yet, here we are this morning, Friday, May 14th. Couple of games to go in the Warriors season. Giants and A's are playing great baseball. The WNBA season kicks off tonight. I mean, there's so much good starting to happen again. And I know it sounds weird. We're going to have a fun day getting into our favorite Warriors moments of the regular season as the regular season winds to a close. And we got a couple of big games tonight and Sunday here in the Bay Area. But just wanted to say way to go to everybody, because it has been a damn long year and a half that I don't think any of us are even remotely aware of yet. It feels like one of those things, guys, we're going to have to wrap our heads around 10 years from now, B and Joe, and just say, wow, that was... We didn't realize in the time even how hard it was, because we just got to a certain point in it and realized for our families, for our friends, we just had to put our heads down and grind it out however we could. So here we are, Bonte, Joe. It's great to see my boys this morning. Happy Friday, you two.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're going to reflect on the Warriors season all day long, some of the top moments of the season, and it's been some great moments, a lot of them from Steph Curry, but some very underrated moments. And we saw a great moment yesterday with Juan Toscano-Anderson signing his NBA contract and talking to his mother. But when you put it like that, Kate, and you think about where we were a year ago, I think the anniversary of the George Floyd, or I don't even want to say anniversary, but a year from when George Floyd got murdered in Minnesota, that just happened. And I was sitting there kind of reading about it, thinking like, damn, that was a year ago? It felt like it was 4 years ago because of the pandemic and what we did and what we couldn't do and working from home and people losing jobs and the, you know, relying on unemployment and not getting unemployment. It was just a rough year for a lot of people around me. And then you think about sports being shut down and slowly coming back, and yet they're coming back with no fans in the stands. And this, you know, so it has been a long year, and we are getting back to normalcy. But you're right about, like, not grasping what happened. You know, it still hasn't hit. Like, wait a minute. We just went through an entire pandemic where restaurants were shut down. Mm-hmm. People lost businesses. And people will be affected by this pandemic for the next 10 to 15 years. Yep. It may take them a long time to get back and get back on their feet. People lost homes. So, you know, just got to be grateful. Got to be grateful for everything that we have. And it's good to see that we are getting some type of normalcy back, Shasky.
Well said, Bonte. Very well said. You know, I find the Juan Toscano-Anderson story that Kate brought up to be just so endearing on a variety of levels. You know, JTA didn't come up the conventional way. He wasn't the number one overall pick. He's not LeBron James. He wasn't the guy who was pegged as a high school superstar and has delivered every single expectation on the cover of Slam magazine and things like that. He more resembles most people in their journey in life, where you're zigging, you're zagging, you're resilient, you've been doubted at every single turn. I know for the three of us, I look at you guys on the screen and I say, huh, did we come up the conventional way? Were we the number one pick out of high school and crowned and given opportunities at ESPN and Fox and CBS or whatever right out the rip and been nothing but signing multi-million dollar deals? Absolutely not. And so I think that there's something to be said for seeing someone on the come up. We've talked about this. I told you I love Scarface, the come up, you know, push you to the limit, the entire montage of kind of setting everything up. And just seeing the Juan Toscano-Anderson journey right now, given the backdrop of everything else that's going on, it doesn't wipe away some of the horrible things that have happened to people, but it provides a level of joy for me. And I think the big word for me throughout the pandemic, Kate, has been perspective. Mm. My life is in a weirder, more different, and in some ways a more clear perspective than it's ever been. And I'm starting to value the small and little things much more than I ever had. And so, yeah, there's been some horrible things. There's been some nice things that have developed out of it. And I think watching someone, and again, I'm not trying to compare, you know, Juan Toscano-Anderson's to anything like that. But it does provide a level of hope for a lot of people to say, damn, look at this dude. Look at the travel that he went through. And look where he's arrived today. And then for him to say at the end of that interview, I'm going to go see my mama and I'm going to go get myself a home-cooked meal. That's a pretty damn cool story.
Yep. And for folks who missed it yesterday, we will have the sound from what Joe is referring to. I'm sure most of you know, because our 6 a.m.ers are usually pretty diehard Bay Area sports fans. But JTA, Juan Toscano-Anderson, the kid out of East Oakland who's been grinding away on that two-way deal, finally had it transferred to a well-earned standard NBA contract yesterday. And it started really early. He actually tweeted right before our show yesterday. It was around 5:30, and he said, 5:30, I can't sleep. I'm so excited, because he knew yesterday was going to be the day. And he called his mom, and we've got the sound from that. And just, I mean, I'm looking at this Monty Poole tweet, and I know we've gone through it before, but undrafted out of Marquette to Mexico, to South America, G League, Exhibit 10 contract, two-way contract, and finally a well-earned standard NBA contract. First time since college that Juan Toscano-Anderson, 28 years old, won't have to worry where he's going to play next year.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
First time since college, Bonte.
You think about the 22-hour bus ride to Mexico, and to a lesser extent, kind of reminds me of when I was working at UPS, a graveyard shift, writing on Samtrans, making $8.85 an hour. And I can imagine those bus rides for JTA in the slums of Mexico, just looking out the window thinking, I'm going to somehow make the NBA. And people around them probably like, you're playing in Mexico, dude. You got no shot. You might as well just give it up. Do you want this job? Won't you go sell cars? I'm sure you heard all that. So, man, knowing that you have some stability for the next season, you know what? The guy deserved it. And I'm looking at Bob Myers. He's a good friend of the program and the station, the GM, president of basketball ops of the Golden State Warriors. And I'm thinking, Bob, hey, Bob, what took you so long to get this guy the money after he basically rammed into the scorer's table in Boston? That was the night where it was like, get the pen and paper, get this guy his money. He needs to be a Warrior for a long, long time. Seriously, like, this guy's played desperate, and people love him. They love the hometown hero, man. So shout out to Juan Toscano-Anderson, man. He's going to buy his little brother a car. It's like, I'm going to buy little bro a car. You know what I'm saying?
How great is that?
That is awesome, man. It really is, Shasky.
Don't you guys get the feeling that these kind of stories don't happen on loser teams? Like, yeah, you get the 10-day kind of glory story. You get maybe the person signs a second 10-day, things like that. But it feels like when you look around just some of the other dynasties, not that their Warriors are in the dynasty mode right now, but I look at what the Spurs did for so many years with so many random guys. Look what the Patriots did with guys like Wes Welker and Julian Edelman, who are afterthought type players. Patrick Chung and just all the random Van Noy's, all those types of random dudes that they scrub up and they find. And then all of a sudden those dudes become legitimate players in the league. I think about the Giants run for so long. Two of my favorite stories. It was Ryan Fogelsong and Travis Ishikawa, and very different, very different in the travels that they went through and the ups and downs and the doubt. I mean, we've interviewed Travis Ishikawa. How many times did he say he wanted to quit baseball? And his own wife is saying, you know, maybe it's time to go back home with your tail tucked between your legs. And I just, there's nothing better than those types of stories, and you become connected to an individual. And not only does he have that story, he's a local guy playing for the local team, trying to help the local hero, Steph Curry, get back to the playoffs and tell the rest of the league, yeah, I'm not done yet. And so this is a very special story, and I'm glad that we're sitting here and sniffing the roses.
And I'm looking forward to playing that sound for our roasters all morning long. And I love what you said, Joe, that, you know, obviously we're biased because we're Warriors fans, but it would be different if he did this on the Timberwolves, if he did it on the Houston Rockets. The fact that he's doing it for his hometown team, has done it for them, and because of his more than 10 years of hard work, but if you go back to, you know, freshman year at Marquette, you're around 18, 19 years old, right? And now he's 28, so it's been about 10 years, and now because of all the hard work, because of the grind, it's not only for his hometown team, but he's put himself in position to be an important piece when hopefully, as we're all keeping our fingers crossed, they do, Bonte, get back to turning things up and turning things on and being a legit championship threat next season.
I mean, this guy wasn't even the best player at his Castro Valley team. It was a guy named Roderick Bobic who was getting all the highlights. Yeah, here he is, finest. Shout out to Travis. Roderick Bobic was a guy who was a point guard who went crazy, had the points. I mean, not going crazy. I mean, going crazy on the basketball court. He was legit. And Juan was the Robin to his Batman. And, you know, Juan quietly goes to Marquette while Roderick Bobic struggles through the JUCO circuit. And I don't even know where Roderick Bobic is anymore. But, you know, this guy has always been kind of in the shadows, always been in the shadows, sitting back, biding his time. And you watch him at Marquette, Shasky and Kate. He was a role player up there. He was a role player, not kept in touch because, you know, when Bay Area players go out of market, you want to, hey, you root for those guys. And he wasn't the star player on those Marquette teams. So just an incredible story, man. I'm glad he's going to be a Warrior next year. Glad he's going to have a role because they need this guy. He's mini Draymond. He's mini Matt Barnes. He's all that stuff. So we'll talk about Juan because I have a feeling that one of his plays will be in one of the top moments of the season.
Good tease there, Bonte. And on that note, we are, as the morning goes on, unveiling our top five moments of the Warriors' regular season. Because, again, just two games to go. Pelicans tonight, and then the Grizzlies for that 8 seed on Sunday. We'll get into all of that. We'll get into the numbers and the implications of the next couple of games on the other side, and then unpacking our top five moments. And we look forward to, obviously, talking and interacting with all of you and hearing your moments this morning as well. It's the Morning Roast. Happy Friday, everybody. Made it to the end of another week. Back after this, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the Morning Roast, presented by Timeless Coffee.
But I first want to pause for a second. I want to ask you guys about almond milk, because I am new to the almond milk game.
With Kate, Bonte, and Shasky.
Oh, Kate.
Did you figure it out, Joe? Have you found your preferred almond milk or oat milk or cashew milk or cow milk? Do they even still sell cow milk, Bonte?
I don't even know. I've been off the almond milk hype for about, you know, as long as I dated Anna. So it's been over 4 years.
Yeah. So Phil Mickelson got me all tied up. I'm a Khalifa lifer now. So I do Khalifa unsweetened vanilla because you got to have a little bit of flavor in there. Just a little. But again, it's unsweetened, so there's no extra sugars or anything like that. But guys, we are sleeping on the lead here. I mean, Jesus was born today, a.k.a. the rushing touchdown Jesus, Notre Dame. Frank Gore turns 38.
Hey.
Oh, my God. 38 years old. Let me just give you some of his numbers real quick, and we'll keep it moving here because there's some Giants thoughts that I have, and there are definitely some Warrior thoughts. Third all-time in rushing, Frank Gore is 16,000 yards. Scored a touchdown in three different decades. Played in 241 of a possible 256 games, still in the NFL, and his son is in Division I football right now. Look, he's one of those guys. You bring up his name, and 49er fans feel a certain way. He's not the biggest. He's not the strongest. He's not the fastest. He is to rushing a football what Anquan Boldin was to wide receivering, what Greg Maddux was to pitching. You just had to watch it. The guy was a savant. And, man, I just love Frank Gore. I know that his time at some point is going to come to an end. But I want him a part of the 49er family for life. He will be at some point. But he represents what being the red and gold, being a 49er, really means on and off the field. And I think that as he's left the team and still gone around the league, it feels like he still holds, like, I'm a Niner, like, to his core, doesn't he? Right.
Well, let's he not does. Forget, Bonte. I mean, we had Frank on at the end of the season, had a great chat with him, and asked him, hey, if the 49ers offered you a veteran minimum one-year deal to come on home. And he said, heck yeah, I would love to come home. And we started the hashtag Bring Frank Home. And, I mean, the internet exploded for a couple of days. And not tooting our horn for that, it just showed to me exactly what Shasky just said, how much 49ers fans everywhere still love this dude. 38, I don't care, bring him home. Even if he can run for, you know, 3 yards this season, I want him back in red and gold.
I mean, what Shasky said about Gore, the numbers, you know, all those great numbers and accolades, it still doesn't do Frank Gore justice. It Thank still you. Doesn't, like, explain what he means to the 49ers and what he's meant to pro football. Like, this guy should be walking in to Canton, Ohio when he's done, hanging up his cleats, because you can't tell the story of football without telling the story of Frank Gore. And we talked about JTA in the first segment. Think about Frank Gore's journey. The blown ACLs at Miami. His mom is on dialysis and she's struggling. You know, the family is struggling. He's a third round pick in San Francisco, across the world, you know, across the country from Miami. He probably had never been out of Florida other than his recruiting trips. And, you know, his college career just doesn't pan out the way it was supposed to pan out. He comes to the 49ers, basically takes Kevin Barlow's job, straight up took his job, snatched it, and became the 49ers running back for the next decade. It embodied what it meant to be a football player and to be a winner. Like, again, my favorite moments for Frank Gore, it's not even on the football field. I think about Patrick Willis getting interviewed at the NFC Championship game against Atlanta. He's getting interviewed by Aaron Andrews, and Frank Gore just comes out of nowhere. We did it, man. We going to the Super Bowl. We going to the Super Bowl. And he had that childlike, kid-like smile on his face just saying, I just want to win. It doesn't matter about the money. It doesn't matter about the yards. It doesn't matter how we do it. I just want to win. And you see him, I think, when he's getting the trophy and he's looking at Denise DeBartolo York, and she's like, this is for mama. And he's like, this is for mama. And he's just sitting there, man, just so happy in his full uniform. Love Frank Gore, man. So happy birthday to Frank Gore. If this is it for him last year with the Jets, well, you know what? He beat the Rams to make sure the Jets won a freaking football game. That's how much it meant to him. You know? So happy birthday out there, Frank Gore, if he does retire or if he doesn't get a job.
Well, and apparently he made a phone call to the 49ers and said, hey, you got to take Trey Lance. And so, you know, I love Frank Gore. And we talk about Juan Toscano and diving into the stands. Some of the great Frank Gore plays, he didn't even have a football in his hand. I told him when we had him on, like, your block against the Green Bay Packers for Kaepernick on 4th and 10 is one of the greatest blocks of all time. So it's probably my favorite individual play that he had. He didn't even have the ball in his hand. And I just love everything Frank Gore embodies. He, goddamn, he's just so awesome. Like, he really is. And I think the word that I come back to, and this is why I love certain athletes, gratitude and appreciation. Like, I think that he realized and he squeezed his body for every drop of athleticism that he possibly could out of it, and was just absolutely jovial the whole entire way. I love Frank. I love everything he embodies. B, Kate, you guys, I mean this at the bottom of my heart. I do. Frank Gore has to be on this coaching staff at some point. I don't know in what capacity. I really don't. Like, Tom Raffman's one of those Niner lifers. You know what I mean? You talk to a certain group of guys and gals in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, and you say Tom Raffman, there is a level of toughness and appreciation, and I feel the same way about Frank Gore. Bonte, you kind of referenced it. Hugh McElhaney, John Henry Johnson, Joe the Jet Perry, the million-dollar backfield, if you will, with Y.A. Tittle. You had three sick running backs. We obviously had Roger Craig, who was outstanding. Roger Craig was outstanding. Ricky Waters, outstanding. And yet Frank Gore, who had probably the least talent of all those guys that I mentioned, ends up being the greatest 49er running back of all time. It's just a testament to the dude's heart. You can't measure it.
One thing you brought up, Tom Rathbun. You brought up Tom Rathbun. Remember, Kate? We had Tom Rathbun on, and we played the cut of Frank Gore.
We'll have to find that. We'll have to go back in the archives this morning and play it, Bonte.
He teared up. He started crying. He started crying. This guy won Super Bowls, and we brought up Frank Gore. The guy had to take a minute to collect himself. Because of the hard work Frank Gore did, it's the legend, the folktale of him going up to Napa, California, and ask Kurt Morrison, the guy Frank Gore has put dudes on their back in blocking drills. They had to hold him on a blocking drill and said, that's enough, Frank. That's enough. You made your point. And he's like, why are you taking me out? I need to set the tone up here. Because he just wanted to play football. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to hit somebody, man. So, damn, I miss Frank Gore. But the Trey Lance story, Kate, I know you read that, right? The Trey Lance story.
I did, but for folks who didn't, because there was you guys know, there is so much news and information coming at our faces every single day. It was so easy for people to overlook that. So, Bonte, tell the folks, just in case they didn't hear it.
Well, Shasky knows this. Jake York asked Frank Gore, like, hey, I want you to do me a favor, man. Look at these quarterbacks. Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields. And he's asking Frank Gore. And Frank Gore just one night is like, yo, hit me up. Call me. In all caps. Call me. And, you know, Jet York is slow to the draw. And Frank Gore's like, call me. And he's like, go get this dude, Trey Lance. He's got that it factor, basically. Mac Jones is a good quarterback, may have hit his ceiling. Go get Trey Lance. Like, the owner of the football team, the CEO, Jet York, is asking Frank Gore his thoughts on the number 3 overall pick. And Frank Gore doesn't have to do it to the 49ers, doesn't have to help him out. Is sitting there breaking down film saying, yo, I've watched them all. Go get Trey Lance. Like, the biggest assist where Trey Lance may be a Hall of Famer, if Frank Gore gives one of the biggest assists now, is it the end-all be-all when John Lynch or Shanahan had gone a different way? Have Frank Gore set Mac Jones or Justin Fields? Who knows? Probably not. You know, they probably would have still got their guy. But the fact that Jet York is reaching out, saying, hey, Frank, I want your thoughts on the number 3 overall pick. Like, that's just crazy.
It used to get me really angry when people didn't understand Frank Gore, and now I've come to the conclusion, you know what? Frank wasn't for you. He was for us. And if you didn't appreciate him, that's fine. Because I know what he means to 49er fans. And if you bring his name up, people know. Like, people know who Frank Gore is, what he represents, what he means to us. During that era of losing, Bonte, to never say a peep, never slam a helmet, nothing. Like, never rip the chin strap off because Alex checked down on 3rd and 11, you know what I mean, in a gots-to-have-it moment. Frankie G, happy birthday, my man. Like, I love you. I legitimately love you. I think I speak for all of the Bay Area.
Yeah, you definitely do. 38 years young. Frank Gore today. This segment presented by Golden State, open 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. With some locations open on Saturday, visit goldenstatelumber.com for more information. All right, let's get into the play-in tournament and the scenarios that are going to come out of the next couple of games. Pelicans-Warriors tonight. Warriors Grizz on Sunday afternoon. It is the Morning Roast brought to you by Timeless Coffee over here in my neck of the woods in Oakland. They're on College Avenue in Berkeley, Piedmont in Oakland, coming soon to Webster Street in Oakland as well. More Morning Roast after this. Stay with us right here on 95.7 The Game.
To the Morning Roast, presented by Timeless Coffee.
What's Mully say about Bonte on the side in those private shows? What's he telling you about Bonte Hill?
You know what? Mully don't talk about him. Mully.
With Kate, Bonte, and Shasky.
That was Tim Hardaway, right? Was it
that
Tim
was
Hardaway?
Tim Hardaway Sr. Yeah, Tim Hardaway Sr.
It was such a great moment. Good pull, Stephen. Good Friday morning, everybody. Kate, Bonte, Joe Shasky with you. And we look forward to very soon unveiling our top 5 moments of the Warriors regular season as we slowly but surely wind it down. Pelicans-Warriors tonight at Chase. Grizzlies-Warriors Sunday afternoon, 12:30 tip. A nice little brunch with the Dubs on Sunday. And real quick, guys, shout out to the Santa Clara Broncos women's soccer team. They knocked off North Carolina yesterday.
Big
back
win.
In Carolina in the Final Four of college soccer, which is called the College Cup. They were the lesser-ranked team, knocked off the vaunted Tar Heels, and advanced to Monday's NC2A championship game. Santa Clara, the 11 overall seed. They're facing top-seeded Florida State on Monday for the chip. They won one way back when we were just getting into college at the end of our high school days. Y'all remember that, right, Bonte? And now trying to win number two for Santa Clara. Go Broncos.
Big win for them. Big win for them. Very underrated sports night. Santa Clara winning. I see Kate calling softball games. Where are you down at the farm, Kate?
Down at the farm. Final weekend of Pac-12 regular season play. And, man, those girls
ball. Did you get any merchandise?
Yeah, I was going to say, did you stop by the bookstore?
Did not get any merchandise. I thought about it, but Bonte said that he wanted to pick some out for me in case the Warriors do, in fact, face off with the Utah Jazz in the first round of the playoffs.
Or
and in case they may pull off the 8-1 upset, your girl might have agreed to wear some gear of her rival college for a couple of days. So, Bonte, you let me know because I'm headed back down there in the next couple of days. I'm calling a double dip tonight and then the series finale on Saturday. So let your girl know, B, what I should do.
I've got sources down there at Stafford. Shout out to Laura Wakefield. I know she's down there running around at the farm. Oh, don't worry. I'm tapped to what you need to rock with. The Warriors beat either Phoenix or Utah. By the way, Shasky, I know you want to talk here. I'm going to give it to you, but I may want Phoenix, man.
Put that in the Tupperware for just a second. And I know we're going to get into the great Warrior moments of this season. I can't wait to break down all of those. But how about these Giants, you guys? Come on, Stephen Duggar? Afterthought. I mean, let's be real for just a second on the Giants. They win yesterday in Pittsburgh. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I thought Stephen Duggar was done. I thought it was like, wow. I mean, the whole 2018 season comes down to is or is not Stephen Duggar and Major League Baseball actual everydayer. And now, like, after I've completely forgotten about the guy, he gets a little opportunity. Again, it's not so much about Stephen Duggar. It's, to me, the staff developing these randos, these random guys on the team that are contributing, and they're ready to go when their name is called. He didn't even know he was going to be on the lineup yesterday. Just unbelievable. And I know the Tyler Rogers experience is becoming quite an interesting
Let's
one.
Go,
give me
baby.
The Kool-Aid. Give me the Kool-Aid of Tyler Rogers, man.
Chug, boom, boom, chug.
I mean, a couple weak grounders. I mean, this guy is automatically, he's going to take some opportunities away from Jake McGee. Duvall.
Yeah, knock on some wood there, Bonte.
Me a little bit. Duvall.
You know what, though, B?
Duvall
let me,
is a little.
I want to ask
he's young,
you guys about
he's
that.
He's raw.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Man, he got, man, I'm a little weary about him. Real quick on Duggar, though. Because
yes, please.
You're right, Chaska. We were waiting on him to come up to the major leagues because we're like, don't do this guy like Gary Brow. Remember Gary Brow? We all talked about him over and over
Cal
and over.
State Fulton.
And it never.
Center fielder
never
of the future.
Out. Yeah, he just never worked out. Duggar kind of was the same way. Gets hurt, slides into a base, and, you know, just kind of falls off the map. And you know what, man? Like, I didn't think he was a major leaguer. And now all of a sudden, he shows up a few weeks ago. It's like, wait, this guy was still in the system? He was still on the roster? What is going on here? Big home run to open that inning up, and then Yaz is starting to get hot. He hits a triple, so... It's kudos to Duggar, man. And that's talk about the day of perseverance, right? This guy was done, and now he's in home runs at PNC Park. Unbelievable.
Do you believe a little in the San Francisco? Not all the way. I'm not saying that they're champions. I'm not saying that they're contenders. But, I mean, I feel like it's undeniable at this point. They're a legit team. Like, that's a fair statement, right? I mean, we're almost 2 months
it's
in,
It's the middle of May. They've won
that's
five of six.
I told you guys. I wait till June, the middle of June.
But I'm not saying June swoon, crown them a
the
contender.
June, the, yeah,
legit.
But the June swoon is coming.
Oh.
You may say goodbye in July.
Is it
and then the dog days
team,
are coming.
Is
and
it?
Then the dog days are coming, bite you in the ass. So I'm not there yet. We're 37 games in. They're banged up. But you know what? I will say this. I like the way they're playing good, hard, clean
that's
baseball. That's
clean.
All I'm asking for. And I'm taking it day by day. I'm taking it day by day. Let me see them against some Dodgers who are beat up. Look, 23 and 14, 37 games in. I'm enjoying what I'm watching. But am I willing to say, hey, this team's going to be a contender in the NL? Not yet.
I
just want to watch them play clean baseball. Let me enjoy.
I hear you, B. I'm not dismissing you. I would be in your corner more had they not faced the adversity that they faced in the first 40 or so games. Like, it hasn't been perfect. If everything was working out perfect, Jake McGee was flawless, and Longoria never got hurt, and Buster never got hurt. Buster Posey, NL MVP candidate. There's no denying it. That's what he is. Bonte, he's basically heading one of the best staffs in baseball, and he's leading in home runs, in batting average.
Why are you looking at me like that, Kate?
I mean, he got on base three times yesterday, couple walks, got the base knock.
This is real.
He's hitting .383, and it's the way he's making contact. He's making, like, Buster year two, three, don't throw anything near me. I am the logo for Major League Baseball. I have a pretty swing. He's that Buster again, Bonte. And I know it's only May 14th, but let's just get excited a little, Bonte. Let's get excited.
Trust me. I was listening to the game, and when Kapler took out DeSclafani, I was like, man, he's rolling, dude. Like, why are you pitching for him? But you know what? Kapler's pulling all the right strings right now. I got to give him some credit here. He's moving Buster back up in the lineup.
Totally.
He's sticking with the ass. He's playing Duggar when he has to. Ward Jr. I want to see more of this guy. Who is this guy, Ward Jr.? Striking out and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know about him. But
you know what?
He is pulling the right strings here. It threw 37, 23-14. Just a big road trip. This is a huge road trip for the Giants before they come back. I'm telling you.
But it won't be real until June.
Don't forget, week one against the Detroit Lions is a trap game. Week two in Philadelphia for the 49ers is a must win. No, but it is big, Bonte, because they're lesser teams in the National League. So they need to take advantage, because then the Dodgers are coming for what feels like 20 games in a row. So you're right. I hear you.
But I hear you, B, and I understand. All I'm saying at this point is they're not going to just bottom out and be one of the worst teams in baseball. I'm convinced right now. Even if they go through a tough stretch, they'll be able to right the ship. Like, they have so many legitimate baseball players on this team. It used to be very top-heavy, and then a bunch of Tomlinsons, right? Like, oh, my God, 4A players. No, they don't have a lot of 4A. They might have bench guys, but they're legit bench guys. Like, I really like what they've assembled right now, and I love their resilience. You brought up Camilo Duvall. Bonte, I keep telling you this. We expect these relievers to just come into the league and come into these high-pressure situations and just ball out. That is not the history of baseball. It used to be
that these
relievers were former flamed-out starters who had tons and tons of innings racked up, and then they would ease their way into the bullpen. It is different now than ever. There is a development process for these young arms to go into these high-leverage situations and in situations where there's a clean slate and go and hold it. Like, I think it's infinitely more difficult for a 22, 23-year-old like Duvall to come into a 6th, 7th, 8th inning setting with a 1 or 2 run lead and say, please, just dear God, don't let the floodgates open, as opposed to, here's the ball, day one, there's no one on, it's 0-0, it's the first inning, you know you're going to be out there for 5 innings. There's a sense of relief, I think, for a starting pitcher, whereas a reliever comes in and is like this. I mean, especially in a lead. So
I hear you. Here's the thing.
Just be a little patient with Duvall.
No, I am patient, but every time he goes out there, man, the guys are getting loud contact off the dude. Loud contact. And then look, he's young. He's raw. This is why Farhan, I think, in order for me to really just hop all the way in, right, and you guys are like, oh, man, do you believe yet? It's 37 games. Let me get halfway through. Let me get 50% through to say, you know what, this team's legit. Let's get to the middle of June. Give me a month here, middle of June. Mm-hmm. But Farhan, I do believe, no matter what, when you're relying on Rodgers and Duvall, Kate, I do think bullpen arms are going to be necessary at the deadline. No doubt, if this team wants to take the next level.
100%. Totally agree with you. And I'm there on the slightly concerned about the hard contact and all the home runs that Duvall has given up. But at the same time, I'm of the mind that if you can learn through experience, that is sometimes the best learning. So the fact that he's able to be put into these situations against all these different big league hitters, give up these bombs, but not lose baseball games or not blow saves, right? For the most part, I know it's happened one or two times, but for the most part, it's go in there, you have enough space to make a couple of mistakes.
Exactly.
but you're still going to get that inning of experience, which I think, hopefully, Joe, is going to pay off then in the second half and the next few years down the road.
Sometimes that works out for relievers, but we also see relievers get wrecked by that. I saw Hunter Strickland get wrecked by that, giving up 500.
So I'm glad you brought him up.
Bobs, like high leverage situations, and he's been wrecked. Now, does he have the stuff that Duvall has? I don't think so off the front end. It was fastball slider or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Strickland, his slider was garbage.
Bobs. It was garbage. Duvall
but
has
that's
a better slider.
That's the balancing act, Bonte, that Dave Fleming talked to us about. How do you get him that experience but not blow his confidence in these first few games?
Well, and B, I think the new mantra for relief pitching is hold the line. No one's saying you got to be flawless. It's hold the line and pass it to the next guy and keep the lead. Like, that's all. At this point, there's going to be nights. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be difficult. When you're throwing 100 miles an hour, you are going to get loud contact. Newsflash, America. That's how it works. And here's the thing that I think is very different between him and Strickland. Early on, you can already see he's trying the secondary pitches. On one night, it's going to be very difficult, especially in the fog, to get that grip on that slider when he's at home. When you're on the road, it's super humid. This is part of the learning process of becoming a Major League Baseball reliever. I like that he is willing to throw his secondary pitches to start off at bats where Strickland was, it was the fear of God for him to throw a secondary pitch.
Right.
And guys would time the fastball, and then he'd go up there and he'd throw some slop into the dirt, and he had no chance of ever fooling anyone. He became a one-pitch guy. Duvall has shown me already he's working on his repertoire on the fly at the big league level. I already see more promise in secondary and third pitches than Jake McGee. Jake McGee's a one-pitch guy. He's 34 years old. At least Duvall's got a little something when it comes to that secondary off speed. I don't even know if it's a slider or a slurve, because sometimes it breaks more. But I like the kid. I think he's trending in the right direction. It's a work in progress. But for 23, not bad. He's not bad.
Not bad. All I'm saying is when he's out there in those eighth innings, in those seventh innings, and he starts blowing more games, if he does blow more games, we're not going to be saying not bad. Not bad. It's about winning. And I get you want to develop and all that stuff, to throw him in some low leverage situations to start off. Just let him get some confidence by getting some
arms.
Outs. You know, well, that's the thing. They got to get some arms.
You trust Whistler or Duvall? You know, like right now, let's ask.
I don't trust either.
I trust Duvall
right
more
now.
Than Whistler. Like, I think Duvall
has.
I don't know if I do.
I think it's going to be interesting over the next few months as the guys who are finally getting started in the minors get to rev up a little bit. That's when I think. To what Bonte's saying about June and July, that's when I think the rotation is really going to start between Sacramento and San Francisco. And it's just going to be, it's already started a little bit, right? We're starting to see some new guys like, who the heck's that? I think we're going to get to start seeing it even more, because that's why they signed so many of those who the hell is that arms in the offseason.
Right.
So that they could do that and really give a bunch of guys, here's the ball, dude. Do you want to be a major leaguer? Prove it to us. You've got 4 weeks. Stay here in San Francisco or you're going back to Sacramento.
Now, you know, that's a great point, Kate, because it will be shuttle buses left and right going up I-80 and back down I-80.
It'll be like the wedding shuttle buses. Every half an hour, just meet here at this stop, depending on how drunk you are or whatever's going on. They're going to start at 10 p.m. They'll run until 1 a.m. Just let us know when to pick you up.
Farhad is that dude in the Fantasy Baseball League with unlimited moves, making five moves a day, five moves an hour. There's no doubt about that. But I don't want to bury the lead here when it comes to the Giants. It starts with the starting pitching.
What Farhad has done
with the rotation, Alex Wood, surprise. Like a low-risk, high-reward type of move. Same way I felt about Gausman last season. Now he looks like the ace of his team. Di Sclafani, a move where I'm just like, okay, he was okay in Cincinnati. Been solid. Now we'll see Cueto, who may be the weak link in the rotation. I know Sanchez is on the IL, so Logan Webb is getting his shot, and he kept them in that game against the Texas Rangers the other night. But look, this rotation has been solid, and you know what? I thought maybe there'd be a drop off at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I think these guys are ready to go. With Buster Posey calling the game behind the backstop, I think this rotation is sneaky, sneaky good, and they're going to keep the Giants in a lot of games, Shasky, throughout the season.
Di Sclafani, just pause for a second on him. You said he's been good. He leads the team right now in innings pitched. I didn't see that coming. I don't know about you guys, but I was like, okay, we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, let me just read off some of his numbers here, the raw data. 3-1, obviously everybody throws starting pitching records out the window, but I don't. Like, you're 3-1. Like, either. That's legit to me. Like, you got to win the games. Like, that means you're going deep in games, and that means you're handing the ball off to the relievers and whatnot with a lead. Like, there's something to be said for that. Let me give you his ERA. 2.14. This is a guy with a 4-plus ERA. Career-wise, comes to the Giants. He's pitching to contact at times, and they're playing good defense behind him. He has a real quick Shasky, whip.
Think about that. He's played in Cincinnati at that bad box, Kate and Shasky, so maybe that ERA is a little inflated, goes to a pitcher's park, and what do you know, the ERA is hovering around 2. Pretty damn good.
He's got a complete game under his belt already this season, which we didn't know was going to happen. His delivery reminds me of Billy Swift. I don't think he has the stuff that Billy Swift had, because Billy Swift was a really good starter. But in terms of his mechanics and how he throws the ball, what a great find. If I was looking for why I would have confidence in Farhan, he found something in Gausman, in DeSclafani, Alex Wood. Mm-hmm. He sees the value in these marginal starting pitching pickups. That's how you build a team.
And when it comes to whether it's the starting pitchers or the bullpen, one of the things that was revealed yet again yesterday after the game was the honesty between the coaching staff and the pitchers, which I really appreciate, because you mentioned it earlier. Why are we taking DeSclafani out? We've got a lead. Are we sure we want Darren Ruff? And then it was revealed after the game, Kapler just says, hey, DeSclafani wasn't feeling very well yesterday. So we just made the decision right there. Hey, man, you've given us 5 good ones, right? You could probably grind out a few more, just like you've grinded out the first 5. But let's just go for the jugular right now and have faith in our pen to get us out of this ball game. And I appreciate that, because I think we hear it in every sport, but sometimes when you push past things early in the season, when you don't need to, that's when, Bonte, things start to catch up with you down the road. Right. So I really appreciate the fact that they did that yesterday, and then the fact that they talked about it after the game. Here's why we pulled him out, even though he was looking really good. And hey, it might not work out every time, but it worked out for us yesterday, so we're going to take the W.
And now you hand the ball to Gausman. You know, the bullpen gets you 12 outs yesterday. You win the game, and now you go to Gausman, whose ERA is even sexier than DeSclafani's, if that's a word here. 1.97 ERA, 0.88 whip, and he is K-ing dudes.
Give it to
me. And they're not walking guys. You know, they're not giving up free bases, which is a mark of a good rotation when you don't give up the walk. The rotation has been amazing while the lineup figures it out. I can't wait for Solano and La Stella to get back. They have a hole at second base right now. Flores is scuffling at the plate. He is a platoon player.
I like Flores
a lot, but they need a second baseman here. They could get one of those guys back. This lineup, man, I mean, this team, like, there is a feeling with this team. Like, nobody's talking about them. Nobody's really taking them seriously. The Bonte Hills of the world are saying, well, wait till June. July. You know what? I like it like that. Just, I'm entertained. And they're playing good, hard, clean baseball, which, man, in July and August, that's what you're going to need to do, man. I can't wait. It's going to be a fun summer with the boys.
Well, and B, I think when you don't have any real superstars, if we're being honest, Buster's a star. I wouldn't put him under superstar status anymore. People are going to dismiss you. You're a bunch of randos. Like, that's what ends up happening. You got Slater and Yastrzemski with the worst mustache we've ever seen in our lives.
A
bunch of platoon guys. It's horrible. Like, I love him.
It reminds me of high school. Shave it off, so man. Bad. It gives me the heebie-jeebies every time
it's
I
so
see
bad.
It.
But here's the good thing. Here's the good thing with Yastrzemski. He's starting to see the ball better. He's starting to have better at-bats. It's slowly starting to work. You look at what his numbers were a month ago and how he's trending in the last week or two. I like what I'm seeing from Yastrzemski. He looks more healthy. I'm fired up. I get it, B. I hear you. Be patient, Joe. Let's see what they are in June. I'm looking at this team and I'm like, dude, I believe that they are a solid team. They are going to be at 500 or better all year. I don't see them going through some 2-3 week losing stretch and the bottom falling out. I could be wrong, but I just don't see it right now.
Well, our guy Oscar from EPA, who is a P1, listens every day, texted in from the 650. Going off of that, Joe, this Giants team has been biting kneecaps all season.
We're
going
to bite a kneecap off.
And they keep doing that, Bonte. Just a little munch here, a little snap there. Just keep rolling.
We're going to take your other kneecap.
I know it's only May, but you just take one kneecap at a time, and who knows what could happen.
We're going to bite a kneecap off.
And look, if they go 5-3 of this road trip, 6-2, look, 5-3, that's all I'm asking for. Then you come back home. The Dodgers are coming to Oracle Park soon. Coming to Oracle Park mm-hmm. where reinforcements will be in the building. Everybody's talking about the Dodgers. Everybody's talking about the Padres. But this Giants team, they do have a chance to crash the party in the NL West. And all of a sudden, we're like, wait a minute. The NL West, add the Giants to the equation. It ain't. They lead the season series against the Padres. Well, they played the Dodgers really well last season. Really well last season they played the Dodgers. They did, man. They did. Throw the records out, man. This team, look, there could be something brewing with this team. I'm not saying World Series champions, and I'm not saying that they could make a deep run in the playoffs, but there's something about this team with the old man Buster Posey that tells me that they may be around. And look, again, I'm excited. I'm here. I'm not going nowhere.
It's almost like they have some warrior vibes, kind of like the Warriors this season, Bonte. It's different, but championship vibe, but there's something going on down at Third and King. Hold on. Let's get to the difference on the other side. Hold that thought. We can keep talking about this as we transition from baseball into the basketball conversation, because we need to get into the implications of the next couple of Warriors games to wind down this regular season here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.